Our gospel today continues the readings from the Gospel of John. It's part of the farewell discourse. We've had a few weeks of this, which is Jesus' words to his disciples there on the night before he was crucified. Today's reading shifts, though. Instead of talking to them, it's a prayer for them, and hence a prayer for us. So here now the Gospel, John chapter 17, beginning with verse 6.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I have manifested your name to those you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and now they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you've entrusted to me does indeed come from you. I entrusted to them the message you entrusted to me, and they received it. They know that I really came from you. They believe it was you who sent me. And it's for them that I pray, not for the world, but for these you've given me, for they are really yours, just as all that belongs to me is yours, and all that belongs to you is mine. It is in them that I have been glorified. I am in the world no more, but while I am coming to you, they are still in the world. Abba, Holy God, protect those whom you have given me with your name, the name that you gave me, that they may be one, even as we are one. As long as I was with them, I guarded them with your name which you gave me. I kept careful watch, and not one of them was lost, except the one who was destined to be lost in fulfillment of Scripture. Now, I am coming to you. I say all this while I am still in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I gave them your word, and the world has hated them for it, because they don't belong to the world anymore than I belong to the world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to guard them from the evil one. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Consecrate them, make them holy through the truth, for your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I consecrate myself now for their sakes, that they may be made holy in truth. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Back when I was about to enter grade 11, my family moved from Arkansas to Austin, Texas, and started living with my cousin, and quickly invited me into his group of friends. And almost from the moment I got there, I started attending Westlake High, and everybody at Westlake High talked about the folks at Austin High. That was the nearest high school. And there was nothing good they ever said about Austin High. In fact, they called them the River Rats because they were right down there by the Colorado River. And of course, they, in response, called us the rich Westlake hippies. And so there was just all this talk about the Austin High River Rats and how they were no good, and I was in the band, and how their band was no good, and all this kind of stuff. And then one evening, I was out with my friends. I think we were at a restaurant, and we ran into some people from Austin High. And my friends were nice to them. Started talking to them and found out they were in the band, and they started talking about music and things like that. And I was so puzzled, so mystified, because these were the enemies. These were the people we hated. And here they were being nice to them. This was certainly not the beginning or the first time I'd been exposed to this kind of us-them orientation. But it certainly continued my inquiry to kind of understand this dynamic that it just seems to be so a part of our lives. That from early on, we're kind of taught who is us and who is them. And I come from Texas, of course, there's Texans and everybody else. But then at one point, I moved from Texas to California. So I was like, am I Californian now? And then I married a Californian, and we moved to Texas. And of course, in Texas, we talked about being Americans, and then there were those Canadians up there. I mean, this is only a small sampling of the us, thems, these kind of divisions that we create, that we divide up using labels, using various criteria. Of course, a lot of this was about where I lived, and the identity came from that. But of course, there's also the kind of the ethnic, our ancestries, our skin colors, the way we speak, different occupations, different social strata. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. As far as ways that we divide ourselves, that we kind of identify who we are against who they are, who I am against who they are. As in the last few weeks, we've been hearing Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples, and there are some of it's kind of hard to keep straight because there's some words that are used over and over. Jesus is always talking about God being one and Jesus being one and one with the Father. And so there's this kind of oneness conversation along with lots of talk about love and also an inclusion of the disciples there. And in today's prayer, the gospel reading is a prayer. It really is I would summarize it as this. It begins with a prayer of acknowledgement of the oneness of God, and that Jesus and God are one, and that we are invited into that oneness as believers in God. So there's a connection, a oneness that we have with God that expands then to a oneness that we have with each other, the disciples, Christians, the church. And then expands to a oneness, an invitation to unity and connection with the whole world. And this is a completely different orientation to look at the complexity that is the world, to begin with oneness and unity. But I think it's core to why Jesus came and what God is up to in the world. For God there is no them. God represents the unity of all. And God invites us into a way of viewing the world that begins with an acknowledgement of the connectedness, of the unity, of the relationship we have with all. And it's most exemplified in Jesus, who we've talked... You know, you may have heard about people who never met a stranger. Jesus never met a stranger. Jesus always saw another extension of himself. Call it sibling, call it cousin, call it friend. Always through Jesus' eyes, in essence, and also God's eyes, was just another one of us. And as he modeled that for us, he invited us as Christians, or invited those disciples, but also us believers, to recognize that as ones who recognize who Jesus is and how Jesus points to who God is and represents who God is, that there's a oneness that we have. There's a connection. We are an us through Christ. And that us is intended to be a movement that invites other people to see and recognize and to claim the unity, the oneness, the connectedness of all of us. Just this last Tuesday night, I was reminded of the foreign exchange students that Pastor Laura and I, and Paul and Matt, have hosted over the years. I think there were six of them from Taiwan and Israel and Jordan. I hope I don't miss anybody. Montenegro, Germany, and Finland. And there was always an interesting process that happened with these foreign exchange students, and a little bit with us, but primarily with them. Because the aim of the program is not for them to come show us how to live. It was for them to come and experience, kind of to adapt to the culture, to the way of life that we lived, and to experience that. And of course, there was certainly some adaptation that we made as we introduced these young people into our household. But there's something really eye-opening that happened with each one of them. And also, I've experienced when I've gone and traveled to other cultures and lived there long enough, is that there you realize that people are people. People are people. They want to make sure that they can eat, that they can drink. They want to know who they are. They want to belong. They want to be able to love and be loved. They want to figure out what their purpose is. They want to make a difference. People are people. And as we invited these foreign exchange students into our lives, I mean, we experienced it over and over. Initially, they were a they. It just felt, I mean, we didn't know them. But as soon as we were able to let down our guard or whatever the transformation we needed to, they became one of us. And they all refer to us now as our family. And we are blessed to have family in Finland and Taiwan. Well, our Taiwan students are here in the U.S. now. But Germany and Jordan, those other places. other places. This is kind of the sense of, I think, of what Jesus invites us to. That Jesus is about this being able to see and claim and live into this connectedness that we all have. That there really aren't us and thems. There's just ways that we've learned, things that we've adopted that make us feel separated. That make us feel like some people are us and other people are them. And on one hand, it sounds wonderful. I mean, we capture with the words love. Love our neighbor as ourselves. And love seems like an easy thing to do. I'd say it's actually hard work. Because we have so many ways, so many criteria by which we are so eager to identify someone as an other. Someone who is not us. And to work and really live into and claim that connectedness and be part of that movement that God is up to have us all recognize that we're all in this together, is hard work. And it has two primary dynamics. And there, I'm going to use very religious words, repent and forgive. Repent and forgive. I'll start with forgive. Because when we think about, you know, all of us being one, and wouldn't it be wonderful if we all just got along in the world, immediately comes to mind people who have demonstrated a desire to hurt or harm us. And it raises the question, what do we do about those people? How could people who are out to get us possibly be people that we are connected with and claim as siblings, as cousins, as grandparents. From the perspective of beginning with that we're all already one, I like to use the word trapped. People are trapped by the fear, by the way they've been trained, by their experiences that some people, it's safer. They need to regard them as others. And they're trapped by that. Like in the story about when I was calling Austin High people river rats. It's like I'd been trapped by that mindset that they were them, that they were enemies, that they were people that we need to work against and hate. And it, fortunately, my friends had a much more mature understanding of it. And they showed me that was just a simple rivalry. But I had to unlearn that. And there's so many things I need to unlearn. Because people who talk differently, who look differently, who act differently. Immediately, I start reaching for categories. And there are people that are trapped by that who see me as an enemy. because of where I live or by the way I look or the way I talk, will and can act out in harm. And when that happens, in order to be part of God's movement in the world, to connect us all and have us experience the joy of this relationship with God, with each other, and with the world, it takes forgiveness. It takes a willingness to say, I trust that there's a oneness here. And I also recognize that this person is trapped. And to then forgive them for the way they are acting out of their fear, out of the way that they've been enculturated. So also, there's the work of recognizing the ways that I'm trapped. The ways that I still put people into categories and make quick judgments and decide that some people are worth my time and other people aren't. That some people are of value to me and others aren't. Automatically saying this person is a threat and this person is not. All these us thems that just are automatic are things that get in the way, that separate me from my siblings, from my cousins, from my grandparents, the non-biological ones that represent everyone else in the world. It's at the root of this, I think, is fear. And in the gospel, it says that Jesus prays, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to guard them from the evil one. And I think it's this spirit of fear that has us so trained and so quick to set up these separation, these barriers, these walls to, quote unquote, protect ourselves or to gain power over whatever that is. That really is the evil. That's what we need protection from. Because it takes a step of faith. It takes courage to choose to love and instead of giving into fear. This is Jesus' prayer for us because the prayer begins that Jesus' joy may be made complete in us. When we do the work of repenting and forgiving, of forgiving and repenting, we have access to the joy that Jesus has, that Jesus had, that God has. This joy of being able to see God's presence in everyone that we meet. The joy of being freed from these automatic things that keep us trapped in more and more fear. The freedom to get curious and to be wonderfully surprised as we meet and make friends or claim the friendship of people that we never would have thought we had anything in common with. There is a joy there as we discover that the world is not an angry, evil place motivated and empowered by an angry, wrathful God, but that the world really is a friendly place and that the source, the grounding of it all is a God that seeks love and relationship and grace and desires that for all of God's children. This strategy is really is a call to an ever-expanding us. It begins with our family. And sometimes we have work to do there because we have decided that our parents or our brothers or sisters or other folks in our family are not us anymore. Something's happened. And there's a barrier and that spirit of divisiveness, that evil spirit of separateness has broken it apart and seeped in. There's forgiveness and repentance to do. And we begin with our family, continue with our friends, acquaintances. Who knows, maybe someday we'll even be friends with folks in Edmonton, us Calgarians. Of course, I'm joking. But this sense of recognizing all the ways that we're trapped by our separateness and noticing it, claiming it, repenting, and looking for ways to experience the joy of the connectedness that God calls us to. Jesus' prayer is that Jesus' joy may be made complete in us. through repentance, forgiveness, through seeing and recognizing, we are set free, truly set free to love, and truly set free for the abundant life full of joy, living the relationships in this world that God has given us. Amen.